whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. I could not help but think about that text tonight as our brother was preaching from his text. And for all that we claim that God has done for us, I wonder how much of us have really felt the weight of sin forgiven in our lives. We feel it lifted off. And because there is much that has been forgiven, there is much love that we are willing to give back to the one who has forgiven us. I just wanted to share that tonight. Take your Bibles and open up to the Gospel of John, chapter number 9. Gospel of John, chapter number 9. There's really more that I could deal with in chapter number 8, but I do not feel like that is the direction of the Lord. And we may reference back to some things as we look here in John, chapter number 9. I don't want to keep you real long tonight. I may just introduce some of this stuff to you. We'll just try to be obedient to the leadership of the Spirit of God, but I do want to at least introduce some of this to you tonight. We may look at it as we have opportunity through the rest of the week, but I do want to read some verses here with you tonight and look at them together and share what I feel like the Lord has put on my heart here this evening. So in John chapter number 9, we'll start reading in verse number 1. If you would please stand with us, we'll reverence the reading of the Word of God. The Bible says here in John chapter number 9, verse number 1, And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Let's bow in another word of prayer this evening. Father, we do bow in your presence tonight. We are very thankful for what you've already spoke to our hearts. Father, I pray that you would work in us a spirit of thanksgiving. I pray that you would work in the midst of your people, Lord, an atmosphere of praise. Father, that we, Lord, would be a thankful people for all that you have done and accomplished in us and in our midst. Father, I do bow before you and ask you to help us tonight. Lord, I need thee. Father, I am helpless and I am needy. And without you, I can do nothing. And I pray, Father, that you would meet with us during this time. Lord, that your anointing would be upon your word and that your Son would be magnified in our midst. I pray, Father, you would draw our minds, Lord, our hearts, our eyes, our ears to the gospel. I pray, Father, that our affections would be set upon the Lamb of God. I pray here, Father, that you'd open some blinded eye here tonight, and we'll praise you and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Thank you for standing. And we've been looking here in the Gospel of John, chapter number 8, tried to be obedient to the Lord and preach what I felt like God had laid on my heart to preach. But I'm very interested again in what Jesus has said concerning himself in chapter 8 and verse number 12. The Bible says there, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And I want you to notice here that Jesus is not just content making claims and statements, though that would be enough to have the word of Jesus on it. We know that the Lord is no liar, and whatever he says, it is so. But aren't you thankful that for everything that the Lord God says to us in his holy word, he has also given us an illustration of it and an example of it in his own darling son. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Those Pharisees that day would not hear him. They would not heed him. But we find him here in the very next chapter, chapter number 9, coming to this man who had no physical sight, he had not seen, and the Bible says what's more is he had been blind from birth. Light had never entered into this man's physical eyes, but Jesus Christ, the light of the world, comes to where he is, and he opens his eyes, and for the first time this man sees light. I want to say this man had a dual problem. This man was blind physically, but this man was also blind spiritually. And if you'll read on down, I am so thankful that Jesus was not just content with giving this man his physical eyes, but I'm thankful that later on in the chapter, after they had cast him out of the synagogue, after they had heard his report of what Jesus had done, and they said, "We'll have none of that." Aren't you thankful Jesus heard that they had cast him out? And when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." What did he do next? And he worshiped him. He found him a spot right next to that cleansed leper, that Samaritan, and he said, "Let me join in, brother, and worship the one that's made me whole." Amen. Aren't you thankful Jesus wasn't just content giving him his physical eyes and then letting him go about his way to one day die spiritually or die the spiritual death of eternity? Oh, aren't you thankful that the Lord Jesus, he wasn't just content healing that leper of his leprosy, but aren't you glad that when he returned, thank God his faith made him whole? Had that man gone on with the rest of those men, he might have lived a healthy physical life all the rest of his days, but the day would have eventually come when his body wore out on him and he'd have laid his head on his death pillow and drew his last breath and died and gone out into hell.
Right.
Thank God, Jesus didn't just take care of the physical. He took care of the spiritual. It's almost as if you can take verse 12 there, that I am statement, and break it up into two parts, and we see Christ giving us an example of being the light of the world, in that he opened eyes that had never seen light and let the light pierce into that man's physical eyes. But then, thank God, he says there, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And not only did he show himself as able to open physical eyes, but he showed himself as able and willing to open the heart of that man and give him spiritual eyes. There's some things I want to look at with you out of this portion of Scripture, and don't get alarmed. I won't look at all of them tonight, but I want to say this. I see here in our text the master of sight. The master of sight. And he alone who gives sight is he alone who is worthy of the praise and the honor and the glory of them who have received their sight. He's the master of it. I can't open your eyes. No one else in this room can open your eyes. But I know one who can.
Right.
He's the master of sight.
That's right.
And I want to say we see in this text also the moment of sight. The moment of sight. The Bible says, "And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing."
Right.
I want to say there will be a very distinct moment when sight is given to you who are blind. But then I also want to say this. There is the means of sight that we find in this portion of Scripture. And it may seem very strange to us, and it seems very strange and very foolish to this world. I mean, who would heal a blind man's sight by taking and mixing up a mixture of spit and dirt and then rubbing it into his eyes? Have you ever got a piece of sand in your eye and couldn't get it out? Oh, the pain and the torment of that. It feels like it's ripping and tearing, and you're trying to get relief. But here Jesus takes that no other man would see as effective or able to help anyone, and he takes it and he helps that man and he gives him his sight. God uses means to give sight that the rest of the world see as foolish and a stumbling block. And primarily it is the gospel. I want to say also, there is the message of sight. But I want us to turn now and look, just by way of introduction. I notice a problem here. Back in chapter 8, there in the latter part of the chapter, Jesus was dealing with those Pharisees, and it seems as though they were on one side of the or in one ditch on one side of the road. They were looking. They fixed their eyes upon their father Abraham. And they felt that in Abraham, they were really somebody. They felt as though they could have that connection with Abraham, and it would lift them to the point and elevate them to the place where they could be counted as righteous before God. But then we come to this next chapter, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And we find them in the other ditch. And they were saying, because of the association of this man to his parents, or possibly because of something horrible that this man had done, he has now caused himself to be cast down from heights that he could have attained, down to the depths. Jesus, what did he do that caused him to fall from way up here to way down there?
Right.
The reality was this. That this man never had been way up here.
Right.
And then because he had done some grievous thing, been cast down to way down here. But I would remind you that this man was blind from birth. He was born with this issue. He was born with this problem. But what's more, we see there is a greater purpose in it. And it is this, that through what Christ shall do in this man's life, he shall get glory unto himself.
Amen. Yeah.
Notice with me, this man could not see Jesus. Brother Tim preached tonight, there those lepers were. And somehow they'd got word Jesus was coming that way. And they prepared themselves. We've heard what this man can do. If there's anybody that can help us, get us out of the leper colony, anybody that can make us clean before we die, this man can do it. And so they prepared themselves to call upon the Lord that he might touch and heal them. But friend, this man couldn't even see Jesus. But there's something better. Jesus could see him. We read in the opening of the chapter that as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. There were many blind men in Israel, but Jesus saw this man with a special eye. I see the Savior standing still and looking at him, taking stock of him, listening to him, noting what kind of man he is, and showing special interest in this one individual. This man had no idea that Jesus was around. I don't read anywhere where this man was praying that Jesus had come to where he was. I don't see anywhere where this man went feeling it around and trying to find his way to Jesus. But Jesus, though this man had no idea, was far closer to him than he realized. I can see Jesus kneeling down next to him and listening to the words he has to say, and that man has no idea that Jesus is anywhere to be found. Some of you feel in your hearts that Jesus has forsaken you and there is no hope for you, friend. It is very possible tonight that he is nearer you than you even realize. Oh, he's watching you tonight with eyes of love. He's staring at you tonight with eyes full of compassion. This evening there may be one or more among us who cannot see Jesus because you have no spiritual eyes. But I am convinced that Jesus can see you and is now looking at you, searching you over from head to foot and reading you with discerning eyes. He is seeing what he will make of you by and by. For he has a great and gracious intent that he will make you a new creature. That he will take the sinner that he is looking at, who is spiritually like a blind beggar, and enlighten you and give unto you eyes to behold his glory. I suppose that the blind beggar of the temple hardly valued sight, for he'd never experienced it. It's one thing to have had something and then lose it, and to know what it was to have actually experienced it. But it's a whole other thing to have never lived a day in your life with something. It really doesn't cause you to long after it all that much. You learn how to get by with it. I'm going to say it's sad, but there's a lot of you here tonight, you've learned how to get by with your sin. You've learned how to get by with your religion. You've learned how to get by with your efforts. And I want to say this, there's some of you tonight, you don't even realize to this point what you really need. You've never had spiritual eyes to see, and you don't even realize that you're wandering in the darkness. But oh, that God had come to where you are and shine the light of the gospel on you and give you eyes to see all the beauties and the glories of Christ that you're missing out on. I promise you this, after a man begins to see light, he'll long for more of it. He'll never be satisfied in the darkness again. You let the light of the glorious gospel flash in a man's heart, let him begin to see who he is, but what's more, see who Christ is. And I'm telling you, that man will never be content, that woman will never be content to run back to the caves of darkness and despair to dwell there again. But he'll continue to seek till he gets more light, until the day break in his soul.
Right, amen.
Those who have no eyes, those of whom I speak this very evening, have no idea of the joy of true religion. For you have no sense of spiritual life or light. You have never seen as yet, and therefore you do not know the deep crushing darkness of your own misery. For this man, he has no light to compare it to. He has been blind from birth. And in all reality, he is content to remain there, for he does not know the joy that cometh in the morning. But spiritual things to him are uncharted waters upon which he has never ventured. He is here at this time, yet he is not looking for salvation, nor is he desiring it. But Jesus knows the value of sight. He knows the glories which heavenly light would bring home to the mind and to the heart of this man. This beggar did not pray for sight. At least it's not recorded that he did. He was a beggar. It was his trade to beg. But among all of his beggings and all of his petitions, not once did he ask for sight. To him, it was a complete impossibility. No doubt many days he begged for alms and he begged for monies. No doubt many days he begged for bread and he begged for water. No doubt many days he begged for shelter and a place to stay. But it never entered into his mind and his heart to ask anybody for sight. Why? Because it was a complete impossibility to him until he met Jesus. There's some of you, you've spent your days in this life begging for this and begging for that and trying to find something that'll prop you up and help you along to the next time that you can feel like you've made some progress in your life, any experience, anything that might make you get a little ease. But there's some of you, you begged for everything from God. Give me this, give me that. Oh, if you just do this in my life, it'll all be all right. But friend, you've never come to him honestly with a broken heart and said, Lord, I need sight. My eyes are blinded. Would you open up my heart?
Amen.
And yet Jesus gave him sight. Remember the glorious declaration of free grace. I am found of them that sought me not. What a wonderful truth that Jesus often comes to those who seek him not. He comes all of a sudden to them in the mysteries and in the sovereign workings of his own will. And in his own infinite compassion. And before they have even begun to pray or even know how to pray, His free love precedes their desires. When they wake up to a consciousness of prayers or a consciousness of the value of salvation, they find themselves in the very midst of prayers mingled with praises. I am convinced that there are some before me now who are like the man born blind. They do not know what they need. They are not yet aware of the value of sight. And as a consequence, they have not sought it. But friend, today could be the very day you receive it. I'm afraid that part of our problem is this, that we want to have everything worked out in our minds and we want to have everything planned out in our minds, and many of us have tried to become the architects of our own salvation, and we have planned it out down to the very minute detail, and if it doesn't happen that way, we're not going to be satisfied or pleased with it. But friend, the reality is, if you're not saved, you still sit in darkness. You don't know what you need. You don't know how to obtain it. It's beyond your reach. It's beyond your grasp. And you need to throw yourself on the mercy of Jesus.
Amen.
He'll do it His way, or He'll not do it at all.
Right. Amen. Amen.
All the circumstances, though, were in favor of this blind beggar. And it is the Lord who orchestrates the circumstances. It was of the will of the Lord that this man was found to be in the way where Jesus would be going. He did not yet realize that the ground upon which he stood was grounds of hope. My friend, you too are on hopeful ground at this very moment. Whether you realize it or not, you are found in the place where my Lord has often been proclaimed and exalted, where He has been welcomed in both prayer and praise, and all that He would be pleased to pass by this way again, and that He may stand still and look on you with eyes of infinite mercy. All the circumstances had already been worked out far better than this blind man could have orchestrated it himself. I'm afraid, and I know how it goes. I've been there. We've got these grand ideas. The day that God finally saves me, I'll be sitting here on this pew, and sister so-and-so will have got up and sung this song. And then brother so-and-so will have got up and preached in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And the saints will have begun to pray and wail. And I will have feel the lightning bolt from heaven come down and strike my soul. And I will then fall out in the altar, and it'll all be well with me. And it may very well go that way. But you might be at home too, sitting on an old blue couch when He comes by your way and deals with your soul, and that'll be well too. You might be on your riding mower mowing the grass when the God of glory comes to where you are and sits down next to you on the deck of that mower and stirs your heart. Dear lady, you might be washing the dishes and folding the clothes when the God of glory comes down and stands next to you and breaks your heart. Be done with all your best laid plans. He's got it well in hand. Just do whatsoever He saith unto you. Oh, what was our Lord doing? Truth be told, He was under a divine commission. For He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me. And friend, He was spying out the material to work upon. Material in which the works of God would be made manifest. Here was the very man prepared for Christ as clay is prepared for the potter who would mold it and then put it on display as his own handiwork. Let this man receive his sight, and all of Jerusalem would hear about it. Yea, more than that, all they who live off in the far lands of the most foreign regions would one day hear about how Jesus Christ Himself came by where this man was and spat on the ground and took the clay thereof and rubbed it in his eyes and gave him sight to see. Thank God, Brother Al, this message has gone all around the world. And I can't help but wonder, Brother Tim, how many other blinded eyes have been opened as a result of the handiwork of Jesus in this man's life. Here Jesus is looking for that special material prepared for him in the way by which he would work his handiwork. My friend, I feel as though the Lord walks up and down these aisles tonight.
Amen.
As a skilled physician. And no doubt he finds a great many who can see, or at least they think they can. And these he passes by, for the whole need not a physician. But as he goes along, he comes at last to a poor, dark, trembling creature, hopelessly, helplessly blind from its birth. And he stops and says, "This is the one."
Amen. Yep. Right.
"This is the one in whom there's room for a miracle."
Yes. Yes.
He stops and looks at you with empty eyes. He says, "This is the one that I've been looking for, in whose eyes I shall bring the light of glory."
Right.
"In whose heart I shall illuminate the beauties of Christ."
Yes.
Brother Tim, I can't help but think about the night that he came by my way. And I was not swept up in some group and just followed them down to an altar, repeated a prayer after somebody, and was ushered into a counselor's room and propped up and then dunked in the water and patted on the back and told everything would be all right. But he came right to where I was under that tent that night and began to deal with my heart on a personal level. And I heard, as it were, the voice of all the angels. All the ages speak to my soul and say, "I deserved hell, but he died for me." There's a whole lot I couldn't tell you that night. Some I have learned since. But I found I did not have to have all my I's dotted and my T's crossed. I didn't have to come to the altar that night with my theological statement in hand to let the preacher check it out and God determine whether it was right enough. My prayer didn't have to be eloquent of speech. All I remember saying was, "Have mercy on me. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me." I'm telling you, things changed from that night on. It was all different for me. And I'm not standing here tonight telling you that I'm perfect and I've reached a state of sinless perfection. You want to know who I'm disappointed with more times? Than those that I see around me, it is myself. But I have found that ever since that night, there has been a perpetual life of repentance and looking to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'm not standing before you tonight leaning upon what I've done or my prayer or my call. I'm standing before you tonight and I'm resting in the finished work of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You ever have Him come by your way and single you out, it'll never be the same. Here we see that the necessities of the sinner are the opportunities of the Savior. And you poor, guilty, lost, ruined sinner, friend, you are the raw material for Christ's grace to work upon. You are the very man that His forgiving love is looking for. You who have no eyes to see spiritual things, you who have no desire to see, you are the very ones in which there is room for the omnipotent grace of God. You are the very ones where there is space and opportunity for the matchless skill of our Savior's love. My Lord stops and looks at you, and He says, this will do. He says, this is the kind of man I want. Here I can work out my divine purpose. I am the light of the world.
Right.
And He says that He will deal with this darkness in your own life and remove it all at once. Friend, I love the fact that this man received his natural sight, physical sight. But friend, we're looking for something far greater tonight. We're not looking for a healing of physical infirmities.
That's right.
But we are looking for a spiritual healing among those who are blind in their souls and darkened in their hearts. And Christ is the only one who can do it.
Right.
He said, I am the light of the world.
Yeah.
He's the one that can open your blinded spiritual eyes and bring you to the truth of the gospel.
Amen.
This man received his physical, natural sight. But that was not the end in and of itself. Jesus did that to exemplify to that man that Jesus, He is the only one that I need. He is the answer, not only for the vast darkness of my physical eyes, but He is the answer for the vast darkness of my spiritual eyes.
Amen.
Father, I thank You for the night. I thank You for the truth.